And Father, we just speak a blessing over every gift and every giver tonight, Father. Lord, every offering, every tithe, we thank you, Father, that you have given us the ability to give it to you. And we do it in faith and in cheer, Father. And Lord, we expect that you are able to make all grace abound toward us, that we have all sufficiency in all things, that we can abound to every good work. So I bless every gift and every giver. And we thank you, Lord, and we honor you and bless you and praise you for the ability. In Jesus' name, amen. Men, we're going to have our breakfast on Saturday, 8:30 a.m. So Barnabas Group will meet 8:30 a.m. Hallelujah. Anything else that we have? Monday, for all the ladies, we have, teenage girls and ladies, we have Gals Growing in Grace. It's an awesome Bible study, and if you, ladies, if you haven't been, come Monday at 7 p.m., and that'll be for G3. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. We're still talking about having heaven on earth. And if you look at verse 21, it says that your days may be multiplied. God wants to multiply your days. And the days of your children. Now, the reason he'll multiply your days is so that you can do things for him. In the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. Can you have heaven on earth? Yes. Is it possible?
Amen.
Amen. Now I want you to go down to verse 24. Last week we talked about laying up God's word in our hearts. And what that means and how he watches over our land. But now we're going to talk about something a little different. He said here in verse 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be what? How are they going to be yours? You got to tread on them. You got to walk on them. You got to put your feet on them. All right? In other words, you've got to take possession of what God promised. Just because God promised it to you doesn't mean that it's yours. Yes, he did promise you things, but you have to possess it. And you possess it by walking in it. Okay? He says, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. Excuse me. So he was talking here about physical land that he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would give them, but spiritually. You know that you can walk on things, you can tread on things spiritually. And really, when you walk, every place where the sole of your foot shall tread, it is exercising your authority. So tonight we want to talk about walking in the authority of heaven on earth. How many know that you've got authority? Okay? And go to Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Abraham was a man who walked in God's authority. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, To you will I give it, and to your seed forever. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, you can see a distance, couldn't you? Have you ever been on a flat place or on a high place and you look north, south, east, and west? There's a place in Tennessee called Lookout Mountain. And if you go on Lookout Mountain, you can see seven states that are all the states surrounding Tennessee. Alabama, Mississippi, and Kentucky, and whatever they are. Georgia. I forget all the states, but I've been to Lookout Mountain. I've seen all the states. And imagine if you can see that, you can have it. But notice what he said. Verse 17. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Notice God wanted to give it to him, but Abraham still had to walk through it. Now, it didn't take him a day to walk through. Abraham lived in a tent, and where he walked, he'd plant his tent, and he'd get up and move and plant his tent. He'd cover more ground and plant his tent, and he walked it. Amen? And go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, my most favorite character in the Bible. Because him and I, we're called to bring people into the promises. So I relate a lot to Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Boy, that's comforting. You know, listen, don't stay too long where something's dead. Take some time to mourn, but guess what? You're going to have to move on. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Isn't that good news? God's not going to fail you. He's not going to leave you on your own, and he's going to be with you. But you have got to possess what he promised. You have got to take ownership of what God said. You have got to make what God said yours by walking in your authority. Okay? How many know that when David walked onto the battlefield, he walked in authority, didn't he? He was a shepherd, but he was an anointed shepherd. Before he faced Goliath, he was anointed by Samuel to be king. Samuel went to Jesse's house, and he looked over Jesse's sons, and the seven sons that were there, none of them fit the bill. And he said, "Do you have another son?" And they said, "Yeah, he's out in the field." You know, they didn't even invite him to dinner. And they said, "Well, we're not going to sit until he comes here." So they went and got David, and Samuel anointed him with oil. And you know, when you're anointed, you walk differently. How many are you anointed here? We're all anointed, amen? If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, Christ is the anointed one, and you have his anointing, his power, his ability. And David walked onto that battlefield, And there were people of authority there. King Saul was there. There were generals. There were commanders. There were soldiers. But not one of them was walking in their authority. Because for 40 days, they were paralyzed by Goliath. And when David walked onto the scene, he was walking in his authority. And when he heard things being spoke against his God, he wasn't going to take it. And he said, immediately he recognized, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Do you realize that when the devil attacks you, he has no covenant with God, he is uncircumcised? That means that you already have an advantage over him because you have a covenant with God. Your covenant is your authority. Okay? We have got to exercise our authority. What is authority? It is power. It is the right to do something. It is the ability to get a job done. It is the weight or the clout that you carry. It means when you have authority in an area, you have a say-so. That means that your words direct and protect the direction of what you have influence over. It means the permission to do something. It means it's the right to command. It's the holder of power, and it's the power given to somebody. Can you say amen? Now go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And I want you to look at verse 5. When Jesus entered unto Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. What did the centurion do? He came to Jesus, okay? And he was, you know, begging or pleading with him, and he said, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come in what? Anytime you bring a sickness to Jesus, his response is always, I will heal him. Okay? Now, the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be what? How was his servant going to be healed? Speaking the word. Notice what he said, though. Verse 9. I am a man under authority, and having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does this. I want you to notice, in order to exercise authority, you've got to be under authority. If you're not under authority, you cannot exercise authority. That's why if you rebel against authority, you cannot exercise authority. See, he's a centurion. He has at least 100 people under him. But he is also under authority because he has generals and commanders that are over him. Okay? And it was his understanding of authority and how it works that demonstrated great faith. Look at verse 10. When Jesus heard it, what was his response? Jesus marveled. And he said, I have not found so great faith, not in all Israel. You know, when you understand authority, you can understand faith. Because faith works. You're under God, and the devil is under you. And because you're under God, you can exercise the authority that God's given you, and you can enforce God's rules. Because he gives you the ability to enforce his will. And verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, let it be done unto you. His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. His faith was speaking the word. He recognized that Jesus had authority over all things. He recognized that whatever Jesus said happened. And so he trusted in Jesus' authority. He came to him, which shows he brought himself under the Lord's authority. And he knew that he wasn't worthy of the Lord's presence, but he was worthy of the Lord's words. So this is authority. Okay? Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Look at verse 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power or all authority is given unto me where? Where? In heaven and where? So Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, right? Go ye therefore. How are we to go? Under whose authority? Jesus. Jesus has all authority, but then he wants us to go using his authority. So when you speak the word of God and you say in Jesus' name, it's as if Jesus himself is saying it. Know this. God's word in Jesus' mouth is the same as God's word in your mouth. It produces the same results. You have been authorized, you have been given authority to speak the word of God and to do God's will on earth, and he gives you the authority, he gives you the backing, he gives you the power, he gives you the ability to do what he said do. You have authority to make disciples. Go to Matthew 10. See, if you're going to possess your promise, you're going to have to walk in the authority that God's given you. How does someone in authority walk? Do they walk like this? Like they're defeated already? You better walk with some confidence. You better know. You better trust in your authority. You better know that you're a deputy of Jesus. Each one of you have been given a badge. What do you use your authority for? Matthew 10. I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 7. He's talking to his disciples, and you have authority to preach. Say, I have authority to preach. You can preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have been authorized to tell people who you encounter that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Number two, you have authority to heal the sick. Notice verse 8. Is that a suggestion? Heal the sick. Did it say heal the sick if you feel like it? It just said heal the sick. Why? He's given you the authority to do that. But when if you're healing the sick, are you the one that's doing the healing? No, Jesus is doing it through you. He just needs an avenue. Just like if you want to get off the highway, you need an off-ramp. Amen? Otherwise, you'll be going on that highway forever. And if there's no off-ramp, you can't get off. And how many has ever come across an exit that you need to go to and it was blocked off because of construction? How frustrating is that? Number three, you have authority to cleanse the leper. Isn't sin a type of leprosy? When you share Jesus with someone, you are authorized to share Jesus and you can cleanse their leprosy. Physically and spiritually. Because there were lepers who were cleansed in Jesus' day. This is how we walk in our authority. Fourthly, you have the authority to cast out demons. Hallelujah. Or to raise the dead. You can raise the dead. That's also talking spiritually dead. If someone doesn't have Christ, they're spiritually dead. They're dead. You can raise the dead, both physically and spiritually. Jesus raised the dead. Peter raised the dead. Paul raised the dead. Elisha raised the dead. Elijah raised the dead. But we have to make a decision that we're going to walk in our authority. That means you got to believe it. And if you believe it, then you do it. And you know what? If God wants to move in a situation where he'll raise the dead, he'll let you know. You don't have to wonder. God will let you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Amen? Then you can cast out devils or demons. When you encounter a demon, what are you supposed to do? Cast it out. You've been authorized to tell the demons where to go. How many has ever cast out a demon? One, two, three, four. Well, if you encounter a demon, you can cast them out. That's good news, isn't it? This is Jesus talking here to his disciples. Freely you have received, freely give. Look at verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter in, inquire who is worthy, and there abide till you go there. So you're also authorized to trust God to provide for you. Can God provide for you? Amen. Do you believe it?
Yes.
And notice he said, if you're in a place and they receive you, you're authorized to release the peace of God. But if you encounter someone that's hostile against you, you're authorized to withhold the peace of God. That means people got to qualify for your peace. You might encounter people that don't qualify for your peace, so you're not obligated to leave your peace there. He said, don't release your peace. And then he said, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. You are authorized to move on. Don't get bogged down in the people just sucking the life out of you. Don't let people suck the life out of you. Don't let people suck your joy out of you. You ever get around someone that just sucks your joy and you leave like you've been sucking lemons? They're joy suckers. They just suck the joy out of you. Guess what? You don't have to hang around them. Guard your joy. And you're also, according to Luke 10, you're also authorized to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What does a believer's walk look like? What are some of the things that we as believers should walk in? When you're walking in it, that means you understand it, that means you accept it, that means you know it's yours, and you're walking in it. That means you're confident in it. Okay? Let's look at some things that our believers walk. Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. What do we walk in? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If you're walking in the newness of life, why does your past keep coming up? We need to be walking in the newness of life. We need to walk in who you are in Christ Jesus, not who you were before Christ. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, but God took the sin nature out, and Romans 6 tells us that sin no longer has dominion over us. Amen? So we need to walk in the newness of life. You got to possess who you are in Christ. Romans 8:1. Not that he was hungry. I'm glad he only ate one. This is good news. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but what? So if you're free from condemnation, you don't have to walk like you're condemned. A condemned building means you can't use it like it was used before, right? When a building is condemned, you can't go in because it's about to fall over. It's dangerous. But we're not condemned. So we shouldn't walk like we're condemned. We should walk free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Okay? Romans 13. Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or carousing or wantonness, not in strife and envying. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So we're supposed to walk honestly. We're supposed to walk openly. We're supposed to walk in integrity. We're not supposed to walk with masks. God doesn't want you, I mean, God knows what you're dealing with anyway. So why you put on a mask? Why not just be open and let God help you? You know, too many people walk in pride, and that's why they don't get help, because they think they can do it all on their own. Well, I'm not good at asking for help. Well, that's a problem. Because guess what? All of us are going to need help sometime, but you choose to walk in pride. We're not supposed to walk in pride. Pride got the devil kicked out of heaven. When we're walking in pride, we're not walking in our authority. We got to walk openly. If you want to possess the promise, you got to walk on some things. You got to walk in the Word. You got to walk through the Word. You got to find what God says about your situation, and you got to walk in it. We should walk in healing. That means when sickness tries to come, we need to fight it with the Word of God. You know, it's amazing how when people are sick, they'll go to the doctor and they'll take medicine. If the doctor says take it three times a day, they'll take it three times a day, but they won't do that with scriptures. Think about it. Let God prescribe some scriptures to you and take those scriptures three times a day like you would any ordinary medicine. We have more faith in the doctor. Now, there's nothing wrong with doctors. Doctors are good. A doctor wrote one of the Gospels and the book of Acts. Jesus is a great physician. But people will walk in the authority of a man versus the authority of God. First Corinthians 7:17. 1 Corinthians 7:17. It says, but God has distributed to every man as the Lord has called every man, everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. You know, if God called you to be something, be it. Be whatever God called you to be. If he called you to be a teacher, be a teacher. If he called you to be a social worker, be a social worker. If he called you to be a scientist, be a scientist. But do it with the integrity of God. Do it according to the word. Do it for the glory of God. And do it to win people to Jesus. We need to walk in what we're called to. Well, I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, then you got to figure that out so you can walk in it. It's not like God's hiding from you. Seek and you what? Listen, if you want to know what you're called to do, you seek God and God will tell you. Why? Because he loves you. He gets more pleasure out of us walking in what we're supposed to than we do. God called you to be an evangelist? Be one. If God called you to be an evangelist, then you ought to be winning the lost wherever you are. Because that's what evangelists do. That's because whether I'm at Applebee's or whether I'm at Walmart, I am what God called me to be. And that means if wherever God wants to use that gift, it's available to him, it's ready for him, I'm ready in season and out of season, and I'm ready to do what God wants me to do, I'm ready to go where he wants me to go, and I'm walking in it. If you're walking in it, you don't have to get it ready. You know, like, it's cold outside, and before you drive your car, it's good to warm it up, isn't it? You got to go out there and start it up, and then run back in and let it warm up. Listen, when you're walking in your car, you don't have to let it warm up. It's already going. These are things that we've got to walk in. If we're not walking in this, we're not possessing what God said. To walk in it means to actually do it. To actually do what God says do. To actually put the word into practice. That's what it means. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by what? So, when we encounter a situation, if our senses say one thing and God's word says another, what do we walk in? You know, we go a lot by what we feel. Hey, do you want to help out in the children's ministry? Well, I don't feel led to work with children. Really? Aren't children people? Well, how does feeling led, what does feeling have to do with it? Whenever you say, I feel this way, you're walking by your senses and not by faith. Well, God says, I want you to work with children, but I don't want to. I want you to work with children. There's something that you need to learn. Okay. You know, in Tennessee, we ministered to the 3 to 5 year olds for 6 months. And I would act out Bible stories. And even when Gabriel was growing up, his favorite Bible story was Goliath and David and Goliath. Guess who was always Goliath? Me. He was always David. But we would act that thing out. I was an usher. I picked up, you know, I was single. I had time. So I was able to do things in the church that maybe others weren't because I had time. I picked up people from the airport. You walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is a feeling. Sight is a sense. We got to get over this touchy-feely thing. Listen, sometimes you do things for God and you don't feel a thing. You got to do it by faith. There's no feeling involved. But just because there's no feeling doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Come on. It all depends on how we walk. Is the Word of God governing us, or is our senses governing us? I don't feel like going to church tonight. Ephesians 5:2. This is a big one. Walk in love as Christ loved us and has given himself for us. How did Christ walk in love? When he had zealots, when he had sons of thunder, when he had a Peter that just wanted to speak and act every time. How did Jesus walk? We're supposed to walk in love like Christ walked in love. Uh-oh. You think our love walk can use some changing? You know, love is not touchy. Love is not easily angered. Love doesn't boast in wrong. Love doesn't rejoice when wrong things are done. Love doesn't take a record of the wrongs done to it. If you wronged me today, love will forget it tomorrow. Love doesn't bring it up. Love covers a multitude of sins. Oh yeah, our love walk. Our love walk is tested every day. Amen? We need to walk in love. There's so, you know, if you're not walking in love, it's going to affect your faith. Faith works by love. Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. What does that mean? You do what you know to do. And as you get more light, you're able to do more. Amen? You hear about every place that the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. Sometimes we don't have things because we haven't walked in it. It's not working because we're not walking in it. We can't just talk about it. We got to be able to walk in it. Amen? We got to actually be able to do it. We can do this. We can walk in the light. The light is the knowledge of God that you have. What you know about God, you're practicing, you're doing, you're implementing, you're walking in the light. And the good thing about light is you can increase your light. The entrance of God's word gives light, and it shines on the inward parts. Walk in the light. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're supposed to walk as if we're redeeming the time. We're not supposed to be run over by the time. What does circumspectly mean? It means to walk cautiously, watchfully, and vigilantly. We're supposed to watch. You know, our feet are not supposed to be swift to run into evil. This is how we walk. And you got to understand that where you walk is what you possess. Where the sole of your foot treads. If you need joy, take a walk through Joy Park. If you need peace, take a walk down Peaceful Avenue. If you need understanding, take a walk over Understanding Bridge. What does that mean? Find scriptures about understanding and read them. Walk through them. And, you know, go over them. Maybe you'd have to go over them a few times. If you're walking in fear, now you got to understand something. Worry is part of fear. If you're a worrier, you have fear in you. You know, on Tuesday, we were up here and it started to snow. And Gabriel was getting nervous. And I told Gabriel, I put my hand on his chest and I said, Gabriel, I said, we're not going to make a decision out of fear, but we're going to make wise decisions. And I said, we'll decide what's right for the family, but not based on fear. And so we surveyed the situation and we decided that we're going home. Because one time it snowed and we were here and we went to go home and every way to our home was blocked. We had to stay in a hotel that night. But see, you don't make decisions out of fear. If fear is knocking at your door, you don't have to let it in. You could feel fear, but you could still act in faith because you're not going by what you feel. You're going by what God's word says. You know, we're supposed to walk in humility. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, therefore, and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know, if you're not submitted to God, you can't resist the devil. How about if we just do a couple more? Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Is our knowledge of God increasing? And is the knowledge that we're getting of God, is that changing our life? Or are we just getting more knowledge? Did you know that knowledge alone puffs up? But love edifies. Love will actually take the knowledge of God and we'll walk in it more. We're going to expand. The more knowledge of God we have, the more you're given, the more you're responsible for. And to whom much is given, much is required. So the more knowledge you have a greater responsibility. But we're supposed to walk unto all pleasing. We're supposed to please the Lord, all pleasing. Lord, am I walking? Is my walk pleasing you? Is how I'm living, is that pleasing you? Is how I'm treating my family, is that pleasing you? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? How deep, how much are we pleasing God? We're supposed to walk in it, that you might walk worthy. Listen, walking in the things of God will frustrate your flesh, because your flesh is opposite to the things of God. And you got to make a decision to put down your flesh and walk according to what God's word says. One more. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Talking about walking in wisdom with people in the world. How do we respond when things happen in the world? How does the world see us? How does the world see us treat others? They'll know we are Christians by our what? Our love for who? For people, for one another. Are we bickering or backbiting in the world? Is that what they're seeing? Or are they seeing faith? How are we walking? How we walk is what we possess. And I'm sorry, I got to give you one more. Can you please forgive me? 1 John 2:6. This is the last one. 1 John 2:6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Uh-oh. This is the big one. We're supposed to walk like Jesus. How did Jesus walk? You know, he walked this earth for 3.5 years. We have 4 gospels written about him. They give us some detail about how he walked, how he interacted with people. How did he walk? Did Jesus walk? Was Jesus nervous? He wasn't a nail biter. You know, even when people wanted to kill him, what did he do? He just walked away. He chose not to be motivated by the pressure that the enemy tries to put on people. Did you know that you don't have to let pressure move you? But it's so much pressure. You know, the devil operates by fear, intimidation, and pressure. The Holy Spirit leads. He never applies pressure. God will never make you do anything. He always gives us a choice. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can change how we walk. We can walk in truth. We can walk in righteousness. We can walk in love, because wherever we walk, Father, that's what we possess. Whatever we're walking in. If you're walking in your feelings, you're going to possess your feelings. If you're walking in faith, you're going to possess faith. Amen? Don't walk in sickness. Don't take ownership of sickness. Don't say it's my sickness. Really? Send it back to where it came from. Say it's got the wrong address. Fight it. Fight it with the word. Walk in victory. When you show up to a battle, don't say, oh my gosh. Say, oh my God, look at how big you are. That's what David did. He magnified God over the size of the giant. And what happened? He got the victory because he walked in that. How you walk is how you win. You win by how you walk. You win by how you live. Amen? So let's walk in prosperity. Let's walk in provision. Let's walk on the devil instead of him walking on us. Let's possess what God said that we can have. Let's do what God said that we can do. Let's be who God wants us to be with all of our heart, with everything in you. Amen? And it'll be amazing when you start walking in truth how God walks with you. You and God will walk together, just like Adam did in the cool of the day. I bet he walked with Adam while he was naming the animals. And he let Adam name the animals. He didn't tell him what to name them. He let Adam name him. God will let you do things when you walk. Amen? Decide today that tomorrow is going to be a good day no matter what happens. Say, when you get up, say, or when you go to bed, say, tomorrow's going to be a good day and I don't care what happens. I choose because it's going to be a good day because I choose it to be a good day. That means no matter what happens, I'm going to guard my response. Amen? So go in God's grace and walk. Walk in His promises. Walk in His way. And you'll be amazed at what God does. He'll meet you where you walk. He'll walk with you. God bless you.